Welcome to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
And we're so happy to be back again. You know, this is, what, April 2nd? We're in a brand new month.
We had a third of the way through the year, guys.
We had April 1st.
And still yet not a reason to buy a PS4.
Or Half-Life 3. None of those things have happened yet.
But I'm just looking for a reason, though.
Well, Half-Life 3, dude, like, I'm not even going to talk about it. We talk about Half-Life 3. We seem to try to work it in every show, but
I know Gabe listens.
No, I don't.
To us.
I don't know that he does.
I'm not sure.
I'm not even sure how we'd figure that out. Anyway, this is the show where we talk about news, reviews, cool things, cool dudes.
More importantly, video games.
Video games. Retro games, you know, just
new games, old games, fun games, bad games,
movies, just anything geek nerd or related to such. So,
which is pretty much Matt.
Yeah, it's all me. I mean, I'm like King Nerd over here. That'd be a pretty cool game. It's like King Nerd. Yeah, like King Diamond.
For those, the first Experience Points game
that,
for development.
That would be
should kickstart
awesome.
That.
King Nerd. Experience Points King Nerd. We actually are going to talk about Kickstarter a little bit later, but before we do any of that, Bear, what is the website?
The website? They don't know it yet.
No. I don't think so.
Man.
For first-time listeners, what's the website?
First-time listeners, pay attention. I'll only say this once. It's exppoints.com. Double tap the P.
We also have the Facebook, facebook.com/experiencepoints. We also have a Google Plus, but it's way too long. Just find Google Plus.
Doesn't everyone have a Google Plus? Because they pretty much force you to.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a Gmail account. We also have youtube.com/, what is it? The EXP Points channel.
Yeah.
So the EXP Points channel or Twitter at twitter.com/EXP_points. Now that we got all the social media out of the way, we're going to talk about what we did last week. Then we're going to roll into our retro game. And then we're going to talk about some news. And then we're going to talk about space. The final frontier. I'm not going to do it.
I have faith. You can do it.
The space. The I don't even know which one I would do.
These are the voyages.
Anyway, what did you do last week, Bear?
I got a story.
Oh,
okay.
Hold on. Let me put down all my stuff.
Put down your stuff. Sit down. I was playing
some
Titanfall, right?
Oh.
And I was getting the message, yo, pilot, your Titan is ready. I'm like, drop that. And so they dropped it, and my chair broke in half.
Oh, man.
That's how hard the Titan dropped.
You should call Respawn and see if they can get you another chair.
Yeah, they can compensate my chair.
Maybe like a Titan-resistant chair.
Oh, man. That's what I need.
That's pretty crazy.
Unfortunately, that means my chair broke, and I didn't feel like kneeling at my desk to play. I tried it. I honestly did. That's slightly embarrassing, but I tried kneeling at the desk and playing. It gets tiring real quick.
So what are you going to do? You going to get a new chair or what?
Eventually. You know, money as soon as, you know, we get sponsors or something.
Oh, yeah.
But, no. So what I did is I busted out the 3DS and kicked it up on the couch, pulled out some Pokemon X, and started playing that up.
Okay, yeah.
That's I gotta say, I hadn't really played Pokemon since Red and Blue. Oh,
right.
I played Yellow. I take that back. So I played Yellow.
I mean, it's the same game.
Yeah, well, you had a Pikachu follow you around.
Okay.
But back then, we had Team Rocket, right? And they were basically the Mafia. You knew why they were bad.
Right, okay.
Today's team in X and Y, it's Team Flare. I have a hard time feeling bad for these
guys. Is it like Team Flare, like Office Space, like 37
like
pieces of Flare?
Like Fire Flare.
Oh.
Yeah, and they all dress in these red suits and everything, and their whole thing is people suck. And so they just want to get rid of everyone that sucks.
Oh, okay.
And who isn't stylish.
Wow.
I can't really argue this.
They're like Express? Is that what
they're
like?
Well, the game pretty much takes place in Pokemon Paris. So,
oh, okay. Poke Paris. That's interesting.
So that's what I've been doing this week.
I'll probably
stay
away from that game for a while.
Oh, man. You're not stylish enough.
No.
You gotta wear a 3-piece suit to play.
I'll have to go to Express and get stylish or five.
That's
five,
right.
Four
go
or five
your hair
or whatever.
Did.
Yeah. I switched from my iPhone to an Android phone.
I did something similar. I switched from a flip phone to an iPhone.
Well, we're all stepping up.
You're more so than me, but I'm getting there.
I got the new HTC One M8.
I got the old iPhone 4.
That's all right.
Not even an S on it.
Smartphones are still smart.
Get all the 3Gs.
Yeah. I also played a really awesome game. I'm going to talk about it at the end of the hour. It goes into our space segment.
Final Frontier.
So, we may just have to play that at the end, or the Picard song, or something. I don't know. We're going to play something. Anyway.
We just played it, but we can't play the Picard song enough.
Before we kick off our retro game.
Wait. No one say a word if you want to play the Picard song. I didn't hear anything.
Oh, okay. Maybe Picard song at the end to segue out of our space segment. Before we kick off our retro game, we're gonna go and break into a song. This is actually new stuff for the show. It's a little old though. It's like been out for a while.
New old,
but
same thing?
Last week
is it an HD remix?
No.
Like
it's
all
not
the other games that are coming out.
No, same idea though. It's just been out for a while, I guess. So last show we played Lake Pontchartrain by this band called Ludo.
I honestly had no faith in that until MG showed, well, listened it to me.
Yeah, it
played it for me.
It was really good. I liked it, and the lead guy from Ludo, the singer Andrew Volpe or Volpe or whatever, he actually does Game and Ain't No Game. We said it last time. Yeah. This is from Ludo. This is part one of their Broken Bride EP.
This song.
I highly recommend, and I might just link the separate EP in the Spotify playlist. This is a really awesome song, and the entire EP is really, really great. It's a concept album, about 27 minutes long in total. Not this song. This
you
song
sit here for a half hour.
No.
We'll be back.
It's very easy to listen to. It's like four or five tracks about a time traveling husband whose wife passed away, got in an accident and died. And like all good husbands, he builds a time machine to go back in time and try and save her. But as you'll hear in the song, you know, it doesn't really work the same. And it exploded into this whole EP. Very, very cool. This is part one of Broken Bride by Ludo. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
And you've been listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM, KSLU. Welcome back to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU. I'm Red Bear.
And I'm MG, and that was Ludo with part one of their Broken Bride EP. Again, you want to go to the website, exppoints.com, and you want to look at this radio post. Check our Facebook or whatever. We'll have the...
The social media will have it, guys.
Yeah, we'll have the post there. In there when we upload this online. It'll have the Spotify link to the entire album, or you could just search Spotify, but you know you could give us some love, too. That'd be cool.
I got some Ludo love.
We are going to talk about a retro game. And there's,
I love some retro games.
It's
you know why I love retro games?
Why do you do? Why?
Because
why
you can play them on old pieces of crap that you already have.
Yeah.
So that's what's nice about them.
We do a lot of, I guess, like, legacy pitching. It's like, hey, all these new things are coming out, but you don't need those new things.
You don't.
Look at these old things that you can get.
I said earlier, I want a PS4. I have yet to find a reason to get a PS4.
I have a reason for PS4, and it's infamous. It's infamous Second Son, but... That's just me.
Is it out yet?
Yeah, it's out. Okay. I've got hands-on experience with Infamous Second Son, and I gotta say, it's really, really pretty, really, really nice. People are kind of upset that it doesn't really work at 60 frames all the time, but it does have this unlocked frame rate. So as long as it's above 30, which it most of the time always is, or if it isn't, you don't notice it.
That's one of my big issues with consoles, is they have this concept that 30 frames is okay. Well, I can personally see the difference.
Most of the time, it is 60 frames, or at the very least, it's 40 frames. Sometimes, though, it does dip to 30 just for a minute, and that's typically whenever there's a million effects and you see all the city, and it is. Anyway, it's whatever. There's a lot of reasons to get a PS4, none of them right now. Just wait a little bit longer.
That's what I'm doing.
But
holding the fort.
While we're on Legacy, right? Old, retro, vintage, as it was.
Old games.
Sonic the Hedgehog is a series, right?
That is a series. Last time I checked,
Sonic the Hedgehog is one of the most iconic series. You know, when you think of iconic characters, you think of things like Mario.
Luigi. Not really. No,
Samus from Metroid, I think, is pretty...
Pretty up there.
Link from Zelda, the Zelda series. And then Sonic.
Oh, Link, that was the guy.
Yeah,
that
was his name's not Zelda. What if the girl is named Zelda? Sonic the Hedgehog is a fantastic series, originally premiering on the Sega Genesis. But it's got such a huge... Like, following,
man,
right?
I want chili dogs now.
Yeah. Oh, okay, so that's from the cartoon.
Yeah.
And a lot of people...
I just suddenly have this craving for chili dogs.
It's really, really awesome. When Sonic was like this Californian, like, West Coaster.
That was so funny.
So a little bit of like history on Sonic. It was first released back in June of 1991, right?
Whoop, whoop.
But it has a latest release, like a most recent release of last year, like only a few months back.
Is this the original Sonic the Hedgehog?
Yeah,
re-release?
the original Sonic was released on
latest is Lost World.
Right.
I see.
It's been on a ton of platforms. It's been on the Genesis, the Master System, if you can remember that thing.
Wow.
The Game Gear, which was pretty much...
I loved the Game Gear. I never had one. I wanted one so bad.
The Game Gear was good.
For Sonic, actually.
Sonic and Vector Man were pretty much the only games you would ever want to play.
Yeah, that was the issue.
Sega Saturn, Dreamcast, the Game Boy Advance,
Dreamcast.
GameCube, PlayStation 2, Xbox, the Nintendo DS, the PlayStation Portable, the Wii, PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, 3DS, PlayStation Vita, iOS and Android, and now on the Wii U.
And a toaster near you.
It's fantastic that a game like this can survive all of that. but I don't really.
It's pretty amazing.
So it started.
If there's a console, it's on it.
Yeah, but so the question you have to ask: which game did you get on your console? Because there are good Sonic games, and then there are bad Sonic games. Let's not go into the games just yet. Before we do that, let's talk about the general idea. So Sonic, he's a hedgehog. Right.
That's last time I checked. He's a blue hedgehog.
He's a blue hedgehog, and hedgehogs are blue, sort of, I guess, in real life.
Yeah, they're not this big and don't stand up on 2 feet.
They don't run.
They don't wear red sneakers.
They don't have red and white sneakers. They don't really go fast at all.
No.
But, you know,
a lot of misconceptions around hedgehogs.
You shouldn't use Sonic the Hedgehog as a realistic interpretation of a hedgehog.
That's kind
of
like the Roadrunner. Roadrunners are not
that tall. Yeah, they're fast, but I mean, like, they're faster than a turtle. Like a slow turtle, you know, or a dead turtle.
Wow.
So, Sonic's his hedgehog, and he's got his friend Tails. And he's got his girlfriend.
Was Tails
I don't know his girlfriend's name. No, Tails was a fox.
He was a fox. And he had multiple tails.
And his name wasn't like Tails. It was. I mean, that was his nickname. But there was.
Oh, he had a real name?
Yeah. I can't remember what his real name is.
No, I thought it was Tails. I'll be honest. Wow, he had an actual name. Weird.
Anyway, you know, so the basic premise is in the original Sonics, because they did evolve into 3D and everything on the Genesis and the Master System and I guess even the Saturn. Sonic the Hedgehog was a side-scrolling platformer game and
platformer racer puzzle game.
You would just run, man. Like that's the thing. You would run. Whenever you ran out of running area, you would jump.
No.
You would land.
You're saying this wrong. You would run and get terrified because you know. Longer you run, you're like, I'm gonna hit someone.
You don't know what you're gonna hit.
Gonna hit an enemy.
Now, here's something I didn't really understand when I was a little kid playing these games, right? I don't think I ever owned a Sega Genesis. I always went over to like a friend's house and played the Genesis.
The
with
first
Sonic.
Console I owned was the PlayStation 1.
Yeah.
And it's because I had to save up my own money and buy it.
I had a Super Nintendo, and I remember for the longest time, all I had was Killer Instinct.
I wanted a Super Nintendo so bad. I had to go over to my cousin's.
It was
terrible.
You should just buy one now. Like you're an adult, you can get one. You can fulfill all
point.
Your dreams. Anyway, you would run, and the graphic style is really cool. They would look all angular and stuff on the background. It would use really cool parallax scrolling. And again, this was 16-bit because the Genesis was a direct competitor with the Super Nintendo. And this was back when like people were just throwing out game consoles. These were the ones
Left
that were sticking, though, right?
I
think it was like Generation 1, Generation 2, maybe even Generation 3, depending on how you look at it. But so Sonic would run through this level and get rings and jump through checkpoints. And I think the overall thing was that there were animals that were being turned into robots by Dr. Robotnik. And somehow they made that Dr. Eggman at some point.
Yeah.
But he was this like cyborg scientist dude. That's
bad
like,
guy.
Like a round guy, like an Eggman.
Rotund man.
He was very rotund. He was like, what's that guy from Despicable Me?
Oh, the main villain.
Yeah, he's the guy that Steve Carell plays. Anyway, so you'd run through, and eventually you'd get to like a boss stage, and the boss stages were really cool. Multi-segment bosses, very much like Mega Man X, where you could blow pieces off and do really cool stuff. And it wasn't just Mega Man X and Sonic that did this at the time. I mean, a lot of games did this at the time.
But it wasn't as cool.
But then immediately after Sonic 1, Sonic the Hedgehog 1, you had Sonic the Hedgehog 2, you had Sonic the Hedgehog 3, you had Knuckles, Sonic and Knuckles. And this one was really cool because you could actually like put Sonic 3 on top of the Sonic
Tower
and Knuckles
of
cartridge.
Power.
Right. And it allowed you to play it played everything as one game.
Mm-hmm.
And you could look at the entire thing. The reason it was split up was because of like time and, you know, money and everything, but you could do it, and that was really cool. And
it was you could build some crazy towers too.
Yeah. You went further and you got the Master System and the Game Gear, and you released, you know, it was sort of the same things. You didn't really change too much over that. There were some other like games released, like Sonic Drift and Sonic Labyrinth. Not really that good.
No.
There's even like spinoff, like Tails Adventure, that was released in 95, where it featured Miles.
I don't really remember that one being that great.
Sonic Adventure was getting a little far ahead, though. Sega Saturn. Sega Saturn, right?
Okay.
Sega Saturn had Sonic Jam, which was pretty much like a compilation, right?
Yeah.
And then
kinda
you had
like, Mario All-Stars, huh?
Yes, very much like Mario All-Stars. Then you had Sonic Extreme that was supposed to be they tried to create Sonic Extreme, and I think this would have been a good thing because at the time, just to put it in a frame of time, right? Super Mario 64, Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah.
And then you would have had Sonic Extreme. And if you can look at the parallels of what Crash Bandicoot and Super Mario 64 are, then that's what Sonic Extreme would have been done. But it was canceled. So we never saw that. However, in 1998, they released Sonic Adventure for the Dreamcast. And that was essentially, like, I think it was like one of the best Sonic games ever.
Huh.
Because it was a third person. The camera would sometimes shift around, but for the most time...
Maybe it was Adventure 2. I don't remember being that great.
Adventure 2 wasn't that great.
That's
what I was
thinking.
Then the following one for, I believe, the GameCube. And again, Sonic Adventure 2 and DX, the director's cut, were re-released for the GameCube. But Shadow the Hedgehog, which was released later in the series for the GameCube, PlayStation 2, and Xbox, was just bad. It was just milking it, right?
Yeah.
And then at this point, the Sonic team, because Sega has since stopped making, the Dreamcast was the death of Sega hardware-wise.
Dun-dun-dun.
So then they start releasing for Nintendo back in 2001. At
right.
this point, Team Sonic starts to kind of lose its steam, right? Starts to slow down. They released Mario and Sonic at the winter at the Olympic
at
winter.
The we talked
games.
About that one.
They released Sonic Rush. They released Sonic Rivals. They released Sonic Unleashed.
Whoa! This proves Sonic is on everything. It was ported on the Nokia N-Gage.
Yeah.
So you could literally get Sonic on any platform you have.
It wasn't that great. And even recently, and I mean as recently as 2006, 2012, that 6 year time frame, Sonic the Hedgehog 4.
Recently, in 6 years.
Well, yeah, I mean like in this time frame, a lot of things happened, like Sonic Unleashed and everything.
Yeah.
But and they even re-released Sonic the Hedgehog in 2006, right? And it was bad anyway. They started to continue, though, using the same, like, 2D platform type of game mechanic. And that was Sonic the Hedgehog 4, Episode 1, and then Episode 2. I didn't like the fact that these were episodic games.
I remember whenever Valve first started trying to push episodes, I thought it was going to be a great idea.
Well, it would be if they could stick with it.
If they could stick with it.
Yeah.
No one sticks with it. Like,
no.
Remember Sin episodes? I loved the first one.
Yeah, Sin
there
episodes.
There will never be a second.
I really liked it. I recently replayed it, and it did not hold up.
It didn't?
No.
I haven't played it in a long time.
If you play it, and again, this is another huge topic that we might talk about, you know, episodic gaming versus non-episodic gaming, and how they're pretty much all, like, with Walking Dead seems to be really good at episodic gaming, because they're at Season 2. Very, very good. Burial at Sea for Bioshock Infinite recently released and completed the season pass. So, I mean, you can do it, and it's still being done. But I know that episodic gaming, in my opinion, for Sonic, did not work.
For a lot of games, it doesn't work.
I feel it didn't work specifically because Sonic 1, Sonic 2, Sonic 3, and Sonic, Sonic and Knuckles, or Knuckles and Sonic, whatever the game was, those were full Future Pack games, and they existed on 256K of RAM. They were very small hardware-wise, and they were good games. Very legitimately good games. I don't think anyone's really going to dispute that. You know, getting 80% or more on GameFAQs and all these other places that rate games and know more than we do. But,
yeah, clearly.
You know, so whenever you're going to re-release Sonic the Hedgehog, or you're going to continue using pretty much the same, like, mechanics, high-definition 2D, then I would expect you to release an entire game, because now the tools are much easier to use. You're not programming in assembly.
Easier.
You're programming in Flash or in C# or something easy.
You're probably programming C++.
Right. You have graphical elements. You're able to, you know, do wonders compared to 1990s. And yet you're still going to milk it for $3 an episode. It wasn't good, and we're not gonna. I think that's probably where we're gonna end the history.
It just wasn't good.
It wasn't.
Get
it wasn't
the old Sonic games.
Yeah.
That's where it's at, kids.
Now, there were some things that kind of stayed prevalent in these Sonic
the
games.
The Blue Hedgehog.
Right? The Blue Hedgehog.
The rings.
Chaos Emeralds, which were
Chaos
big.
Chaos Emeralds.
And it was like, I guess it's like the Dragon Balls for Sonic the Hedgehog. there were special stages, which were awesome.
God, I really want a chili dog now.
Yeah, chili dogs, Zeta there. Now, whenever we talk about legacy, you know, Sonic has a legacy, right? People recognize Sonic the Hedgehog over several other game characters.
People who don't play games recognize Sonic.
Right. And you know what? I want to say that recently they've sort of started to make a comeback with using Sonic in, you know, commercials and video games. I know back in the day it used to be Crash Bandicoot, Sonic, Mario. They used to have like these big suits that people would wear, like, you know, sports game mascots and stuff.
Right, right.
And they seemed to go away from that for a while, but then they came back.
You know, I would watch sports more if they would take video game characters and make them their mascots, and we get to see them fight and stuff.
I feel like that'd be really cool as like a halftime show.
Yeah.
Like,
well, that's
like
the point of
Mortal
mascot,
Kombat,
right?
For reals.
The New Orleans Sub-Zeros.
No, that'd be...
which makes no sense.
That'd be awesome. I don't know. This past winter was pretty crazy.
Oh, what, you mean spring?
Oh, yeah, well. So, just to throw some numbers your way. In 91, Sonic the Hedgehog, the original, on Mega Drive and Genesis, 15 million in sales, right? Not $50 million, 50 million units.
More than a dollar, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. In 92, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, the sequel for Genesis and Mega Drive, 6 million. Not good.
Not
Sonic the Hedgehog Spinball in 93. This was one of those intermediary titles that they were really just trying to milk. 1 million
in the US. I mean,
you
can just tell from the title.
Spinball. Maybe it's supposed to be Pinball, but Sonic Pinball, Spinball. Sonic the Hedgehog 3 and Sonic Knuckles got 1.02 and 1.24 million, respectively. Sonic Adventure for the Dreamcast in 98 got 2.5 million.
That was everyone that had a Dreamcast.
And it just kind of, like, it drops. Like, it didn't really sell much until the Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games for the Wii and the
DS.
Don't
tell me that sold more.
That sold 11.3 million, million
who
units.
Who bought this? I know who bought this. Parents who bought the Wii for their kids
for
Christmas.
Now, I'll throw this out there. The Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Winter Games.
Was that the Wii? That was the Wii.
Yeah, well, that was the Wii, Nintendo DS, and then the 3DS.
Yeah,
So those three games that, because they had the Olympic.
Oh, so those being combined in that one number?
Right, right. So, No. In 2007, there was Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games. In 2009, there was Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Winter Games. In 2011, there was Mario and Sonic at the London 2012 Olympic Games. Those three games combined sold 21.7 million units. So
made them some money.
Made them some money. But that's all we're going to talk about for Sonic. We're going to move on.
I'd like to move on at this point.
Before we move on to our news segment, this is Metamorphic Rock by Dark Sword and 6-2 Sounds. It's actually a remix of one of the, I think, Emerald Green Sonic the Hedgehog 2 soundtracks. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
And you've been listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM, KSLU.
Welcome back to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
And that was Metamorphic Rock by Dark Sword and 6-2 Sounds. Sonic, I think it's Sonic the Hedgehog 2. It's a remix from OC Remix.
Yeah.
We'll put a link to the download in the...
We'll go with that, Sonic 2,
in the show notes. This is the news section. We're going to talk about...
Kids.
We're
going
to
yeah,
you need to know I feel like we
things
should have
going
like
on in the world.
We should
Russia's
have
moving.
We should have Three
and
Dog from
Facebook
Fallout
is buying Oculus.
We should have Three Dog from Fallout. News time, children. Oh,
how much
man.
Would it cost to get him on here?
I don't think he's a real person.
Well, there's a voice actor.
Let's go ahead and talk about that, though. The Oculus Rift is acquired by Facebook for $2 billion. That's a lot of money.
They're still going with $2 billion.
You know how many Cheetos you could buy for $2 billion?
Oh, my God.
You could, like, swim through Cheetos. I mean, I'm fairly certain that's not $2 billion worth of Cheetos, but you could buy a Cheetos.
Man, those would grow my chili dogs.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
Yep, so...
I don't know how I feel about this. I'll be honest.
I know how some other people feel.
I'm reading that.
We've got a few
paper.
Quotes. So from Marcus Pearson, Pearson or whatever, Notch from Minecraft.
From Notch. Just say that.
So here's what he tweeted. Right. This is what he originally tweeted as soon as he found out that Facebook bought it for $2 billion.
Oh my God, guys! I can't believe it. No.
He didn't say that, but...
Oh, sorry, I ad-libbed.
Oh, okay. So, quote, we were in talks about maybe bringing a version of Minecraft to Oculus. I just canceled that deal. Facebook creeps me out. End quote. Someone didn't understand what that meant, so he elaborated. Quote, their motives are too unclear and shifting, and they haven't historically been a stable platform. There's nothing about their history that makes me trust them, and that makes them seem creepy to me. And I did not chip in $10,000 to seed a first investment round to build value for a Facebook acquisition. End quote. What do you think about that?
I'm signed with Notch on this one.
I have
now,
that is a lot of money.
It's a lot of money from one person. Facebook is pretty shifty. I mean, to be honest...
They change their layout every week.
Yeah, their layouts change every week. Their apps always suck.
They play videos automatically.
Oh, God, don't even get me started on that. I mean, they can't build a good... they're not a stable platform for anything.
Well, so let's stick specifically with the Oculus Rift right now. For people that don't know, VR headset, one of the most famous successful kickstarting campaigns ever. Next to the Pebble. And
if you haven't used an Oculus yet, then you're missing out on a lot.
It really is awesome. But being a Kickstarter, you know, no one forced him to donate $10,000. No one forced anyone to donate.
Right.
And there are some rewards that have been, you know, paid out already. So I feel like if he's going to get all kind of, you know, upset about Facebook buying it, I mean, Oculus has to do what's best for them, right? I feel...
I'm with him. I don't trust Facebook is my problem.
Okay. Well, let's continue.
Why do they want it?
Well, okay. Well, we've got a few other people that are pretty high up, right? So, incidentally, if you wanted to play Minecraft on the Oculus Rift, there's a mod that does that already, but Java is not the best code to play video games, let alone video games in virtual reality. But it can do it.
Over.
Michael Abrash or Abrash, he was that VR guy at Valve that, like, you know, he was working on Valve's version of stuff.
That's why Half-Life 3 hasn't been released.
He left Valve. He was talking all the good stuff in January about how Valve's working on some VR stuff. He left Valve to go to Oculus Rift.
Oculus is amazing.
After Facebook bought him. And he says, the final piece of the puzzle fell into place on Tuesday. A lot of what it will take to make VR great is well understood at this point, so it's engineering, not research. Hard engineering, to be sure, but clearly within reach. For example, there are half a dozen things that could be done to display panels that would make them better for VR. None of them pie in the sky. However, it's expensive engineering. And of course, there's also a huge amount of research to do once we reach the limits of current technology. And that's not only expensive, it also requires time and patience. He then says that it wouldn't be clear, and that made spend the capital until VR was truly great. And he was afraid that the Catch-22 would cause VR to fail to achieve liftoff. But that worry is now gone. Facebook's acquisition of Oculus means that VR is going to happen in all its glory. The resources and long-term commitment that Facebook brings Oculus that gives Oculus the runway it needs to solve the hard problems of VR, and some of them are hard indeed. I now fully expect to spend the rest of my career pushing VR as far ahead as I can. Pardon the butchered quote.
Well, good try. I'll give you a hand.
It's hard to read sometimes.
Okay, I see. Facebook has money, is what he's saying.
He's got, yeah, they put $2 billion
straight down on Oculus.
Right.
Like, initial investment.
Yeah.
So, I'll give him that. It looks like they're willing to throw some money at it, and money can go a long way.
Money can go a long way.
As long as you can get the right talent there, and they're pulling people from Valve. It's just, I have a hard time trusting Facebook.
I like how he calls it a commitment. I think he said that somewhere, maybe not. Not only expensive, time and patience. So, I don't know. I like the fact that now there's money behind it, that it's not a money thing. But it was originally this indie thing. It was originally a small, you know, a small company that was made from nothing. A guy was just doing it for, like, college or something. He just decided to do it for real, for a job. And that's important, you know. It's important to have that ingenuity. I was really, really, really excited when John Carmack left ID to go work fully on Oculus.
I was super excited about.
His comments are a little more reassuring. He says, quote, I'm not going to screw this one up.
But you got this.
This isn't what he said, but quote, I'm not going to screw the quote up.
I'm not going to screw this one up.
So, quote, I do have reasons to believe that they get the big picture as I see it and will be a powerful force towards making it happen. You don't make a commitment like they just did on a whim. End quote.
$2 billion worth of Cheetos?
$2 billion, that's a lot of Cheetos. I think they're good.
Like I said, I like the fact that they're throwing money at it. Facebook has money. But I'm a little notch leaning on this, on the fact I just don't trust them as a company.
Right, but again, you know what? I feel like we're trusting these developers and these engineers and these research teams. We're trusting them with our hopes and our dreams of a better VR future and tomorrow. And they've been doing really well so far.
I will say, I can trust John Carmack.
Right.
As long as I keep him at the head of this.
I'll trust this Abrash guy. He was at Valve, you know?
Yeah, he's at Valve.
He knows inside secrets about Half-Life 3.
He obviously left Valve for a reason to go to Oculus.
Right.
Valve's not a bad company.
Right, no, it's definitely going to be around.
They definitely have money.
Yes.
But like I said, John Carmack has a pedigree,
right.
And I love his work, and I trust him. As long as he's running things, I think I'm going to be okay with Facebook.
I agree.
But I'm going to be reserved.
I was talking to a coworker earlier today, and he said, you know, I'm not sure that I like the fact that Facebook bought it, because whenever you look at EA buying Mythic back in the day,
right.
the main difference between that and this, because that was really out of the ordinary for them, but at least it was still video games. Facebook doesn't make video games.
That's my point.
You know, they
have no connection here.
There's nothing in their history.
They're planning to bring the metaverse to life from Snow Crash.
Yeah, so I actually started listening to that this morning.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
such a good book.
If you really want to listen to an awesome book,
listen to that thing we do sometimes.
Snow Crash. I forget who it's by, but it's really, really good book.
It's one of my favorite books.
Yeah, I'm right through like chapter I think 3 where the guys with swords and pizza delivery. Anyway,
the mafia runs the whole pizza business.
The mafia runs the whole thing. It's very well written. Anyway.
Neil Stephenson.
So that's a good book.
Check it out.
But moving on. That's Oculus Rift. We'll see exactly what's going on with it later.
Yes, we'll definitely see.
If you have a PlayStation 4 or a PlayStation 3 or a PlayStation Vita.
Again, why do I have a PlayStation 4 if I have PlayStation 3 at this point?
There's this thing called PlayStation Plus. Every month. PlayStation gives you free games.
And we love free.
And this month, for the PS4, there's Mercenary Kings, which is a 2D action shooter. Sort of like Contra. That's for free if you have PlayStation Plus. I guess it's not for free. It's for $50 a year, but you get all this other stuff. For PS3, you get Arkham City, the Batman game, third-person action-adventure platformer.
That's a fun one.
Awesome stuff. You also get Stealth Inc., A Clone in the Dark, which is like a 2D puzzle game where you're a clone or something. Castle of Illusion, starring Mickey Mouse. I did not know this was not on a Nintendo console, but Nintendo's not doing so well, so maybe they moved it. This is a 3D platformer with, of course, Mickey Mouse. And then for PlayStation Vita, you get two games. Velocity Ultra, it's a shoot-em-up, and then Pixel Monsters Ultimate HD, Tower Defense.
Both fun.
Now, if you haven't played the original Dead Space, and we made a comment on Facebook, Dead Space, for the entire month of April, so that's before May, Dead Space...
That's what April is, guys.
Dead Space is available free.
Right now.
Right? Dead Space 1. You can go get it. We'll put a link in the show notes on the website.
All you gotta do is click.
You just gotta click it, get it. You get it now, you keep it forever. That's what Origin is doing for you. You'd have to install Origin, so
There's that.
April 3rd, which is tomorrow, FTL is going to release a free expansion and the iPad edition for their game FTL, Faster Than Light. The iPad edition is going to be $10. And that's the news.
What a good news segment.
We're going to cut to a song, Bear.
Let's do I love
this
songs.
This is actually a song
is
you
this
found.
Is this going to drop the bass? No. But this is a song that's very dear to my heart, about a subject very dear to my heart.
Oh, yeah.
Because I love video games.
I love video games as well.
And that is what this entire song is about.
This is Sim Gretina featuring Kathy Chan. And the name of this song is I Love Video Games. So you're hearing it here on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM, KSLU.
Experience points. Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU. This is Experience Points, and I'm MG.
I'm your favorite host, Red Bear.
Your favorite host. Wow, this guy.
True.
That was Sim Gretina featuring Kathy Chan. I love video games.
Really, don't we all?
Really awesome song. Like, it's very upbeat and very fun.
Very happy. It really reminded me of being in high school.
Yeah.
Because, you know, your mom's telling you to go to bed, and you're like, no, video games. And she's like, you're grounded. And you're like, ugh. That's pretty much how I felt all through high school.
You have to sneak back up front. Like,
yeah. I would actually... in secret, so if my mother actually listens to the show, I'm sorry, but I would hide in my room and put a towel under the door so the light from the screens wouldn't seep through.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yep. So kids today.
So pay attention, kids. This is how you get away with video games all night.
At the end of our previous news segment, we talked about FTL coming out with the iPad edition, and that sort of got us thinking when we were looking at the news. We've got a lot of upcoming games, specifically upcoming space games, right? Star Citizen by Robert Space Industries. That's really good. Elite Dangerous, which is really awesome from the Elite series. Eve Valkyrie, which has some awesome in-the-cockpit starfighting spaceship things. Pulsar, The Lost Colony, and then Limit Theory. These are all really, really awesome games that may have a alpha component out right now. So then we said, well, let's just talk about some of our quote-unquote best space games.
The space is where it's at.
Games where we like, yeah, I mean, space really is. I heard it's the final frontier.
It is.
That's what I heard. But let's talk about some of the ones that are out now. FTL, we did mention it. If you haven't looked up FTL yet, it's this really awesome kind of top-down game where you jump from system to system to try to get a message to the fleet. And then eventually, you have to level up your ship along the way. But, you know, you can die very easily in this game. Some people have had this game for a year, and they still haven't beaten it. Like, I don't think I've beaten the game on hard yet.
There's so many games I've had for so long and haven't
beaten. It's really,
so.
Really good. But we have a list, and we're going to go ahead and just get through them right now. So let's start with EVE Online. EVE Online is pretty good. It's by CCP.
I know you like EVE. I've tried EVE.
I haven't been paying for a subscription, right? I've kind of broken off from the subscription. I've got way too many things going on with experience points and other stuff.
That's how I feel with subscription services.
EVE Online needs to be mentioned because it is a really awesome sandbox MMO universe. And on universe.
I just feel like it's spreadsheets in space.
It's changed a lot. And you can make it spreadsheets in space. There are, it's like if you open your computer, you turn on your computer and you're like, all right, well, here's my computer. It's really just graphs. That's all my computer is.
All
well, it is only graphs if you only
you
look at task manager.
NBA if you play it for a year.
If you look at Windows or Mac, if you open up task manager or activity monitor, they're just
we're
graphs.
Not, we're not doing this.
You know?
No.
That's
no,
all it is.
No.
But it could be solitaire. It could be
task
these other
manager
things.
Isn't a video game.
No. EVE is though, and EVE is a really, really awesome thing where it's what you make of it. You know, it's the ending of Back to the Future 3. Really, the future is what you make.
I will say one thing: I do get excited when I start hearing buzz about an epic battle going on.
Oh yeah, that is something.
They do have some very large scale battles.
It's pretty crazy. Up next,
I'll follow that.
We have Artemis Spaceship Bridge Simulator.
I want to play this.
This is pretty much Star Trek.
Yeah,
the
that's
game,
what it is.
But I mean, it's not really Star Trek. It's like it's the better game,
yeah.
Because Star Trek games have notoriously been bad.
You basically have to build an entire spaceship bridge to play it.
You need like six or seven computers,
or six or seven iPads.
It is on iOS. It's not very expensive. In fact, I think it's like $50 or $60.
The software cost is low. The hardware cost is high.
Yeah, that's the thing. But it can run on anything. Like, it's not a very graphically intensive game, so you can run it on pretty much everything.
Yeah. This is more. I like this idea because it's not just a video game. It's more of an actual role playing game.
Yeah,
it's
super almost, cool LARPing, bro.
It's not quite as nerdy as LARPing, but close.
Yeah, I mean, especially
like,
if you dress up.
I would wear my you know,
insignia, your patch,
insignia,
your communicator badge, and
I would tap it when I'm talking to engineering and stuff. I would do that.
It's a good experience. I feel like it's a good social experience.
For nerds.
Moving on, Kerbal Space Program.
I love
this game. So for those that don't know, you build ships out of rockets. You put your Kerbals on them. You try to not die.
Hi, Jebediah.
That's all that the Kerbal Space Program is.
You.
They're releasing a really awesome, update. Yeah,
thank you, NASA.
NASA's given them data, and they're making better rockets, bigger rockets, and asteroids. Asteroids are there.
They're all based off of data NASA's collecting.
Real data. You can actually build these things to grab asteroids and move the asteroids around. So it's like
we're wanting to do in real life.
Big space claws or whatever.
Yeah, space claws. Oh man, that's making me think of Outlaw Star with the grappler ships.
Yes. That's a really awesome show.
Watch that. If you haven't watched Outlaw Star, do it.
So Kerbal Space Program runs on Mac and Linux, and I think it runs on Linux and Windows.
I can get anything working with enough wine.
Well, there you go. Well, but it's very cheap. I think it's like $20 to get in the open alpha.
Yeah, it's not expensive.
Or beta.
You gotta whatever it's in now. Play it.
I've actually been playing a ton of Space Engineers. That's the next game I'm talking about.
I'm not, because again, my chair's broken.
$20.
Too much Titanfall.
$20 on Steam. Space Engineers is like Minecraft in space, but it looks way nicer.
Minecraft is getting a little dated at this point.
It looks, honestly, it plays and looks like Shattered Horizon. You know, for as nice as it is, but it doesn't have all the realistic elements of getting hit and muting. Now, it is an open alpha, though. So, I mean, it's sort of okay that it doesn't have all of that. Anyway, Space Engineers, you essentially build a mine. You get a drill and you mine, and you build blocks. And you build those blocks, and then you build reactors, and you build assemblers, and you build a lot of fuel. And again, like, it's some of the best mods, space mods of Minecraft, along with the voxel type of Minecraft ideas. But then it goes in a whole other type of direction where there are these passing ships, carriers, you know, space combat, multiplayer survival, and creative. It's really, really great. $20 if you can pick it up. It's only Windows for now, but I feel that if it gets enough, you know, enough play, they will make a Mac version and maybe a Linux version too. Moving on, Mass Effect.
If we're talking about good space games. Mass Effect.
This is like the number one of the number one series. And again, it's not necessarily like you're not flying the ship around like you do in all these other games.
No, well, you're the captain.
Yeah, you.
So you don't actually have to fly the ship. You have a pilot.
You're
to fly
a person.
Ship for you.
You're a person, and you have a team, and the story. This game's all about story.
The story. I mean, it was written by sci-fi authors, for Christ's sake. Right. So it's great.
Honestly, you know what? Mass Effect sounds and seems like the Advent Rising series was going to try to be.
That's
Advent
accurate.
Rising. Advent Rising, again, episodic gameplay, more or less, I guess, part one came out. And it wasn't bad. It just wasn't as good as it needed to be in order to be okay to stay around. Like, it didn't get enough.
Yeah, it was no Mass Effect.
It wasn't a Mass Effect, but Mass Effect, Colonel
Shepard.
The thing
Shepard, I love about Mass Effect, though, is all the characters have depth.
Yes.
All the races, it's just they're all
it's
unique
a world.
And individual.
It's its own
it's
universe.
It's a living world.
Right.
Like, if they made an MMO out of this, I might pay a subscription.
I legitimately care about a lot of the characters in this
game.
Oh,
yeah, don't you? Like Miranda.
Yeah,
namely
because
that booty.
That booty. Them soccer balls.
Them soccer balls.
All of them. Moving on, the Free Space series, but specifically Free Space 2. So we've done Descent.
I love Descent.
Descent's
pretty
awesome.
My favorite game of all time, Descent
and,
1.
And Descent is a 6 degree of freedom game.
Woo!
So that means you have pitch, yaw, and roll. 6 degrees. 2 times 3 is 6.
Okay.
Descent, and I believe it was Volition specifically, branded the next version of Descent, like Descent 4, as Descent Free Space. And then the sequel, Free Space 2. That's how we get to Free Space 2. Free Space 2 looked good back in 1999, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's since then been open sourced, and there's HD packs and versions of it. So you can go and buy. You can go buy a $5 version of Free Space 2 from Good Old Games. We'll put a link in the show notes.
If you're looking for Good Old Games, Good Old Games.
Go to GOG.com. And they don't sponsor the show. We should probably talk to them. But,
yeah, we should.
So you can get Free Space 2,
so
and then you just run this like open source installer. It replaces everything. You could do Battlestar Galactica mods. You could do Babylon 5 mods, Star Trek mods, all these mods. But the base game is still ridiculous. There's scale, there's size, there's drama. The story isn't that great, but it's not bad. You know, I feel like it's pretty good.
No, but I mean, still, you've got 6 degrees of freedom in space. And
the controls.
Who doesn't love flying a spaceship?
You can, you know what, it came with Fred, which is the Free Space Mission Editor. It was called Fred 2.
Yeah.
You could build your own missions, your own campaigns, and then you can go and fly missions with friends. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
We're going to end out our space segment.
Well, I would like to add in a couple honorable mentions.
What you got?
X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, because that was in space.
Oh, yeah,
and everyone
good.
Loved that. And Freelancer.
Freelancer was good, and Wing Commander. Those
and
were good.
And Wing Commander. Oh, man, I remember installing Wing Commander. It was on, like, 6 or 8 floppy disks.
Yeah, Wing Commander was good. And again, like, Star Citizen is essentially the next Wing Commander. It's by the same Chris Robertson. It is going to be a fantastic, and that's a good Kickstarter, you know, good way of saying Kickstarter works. To end out, though, we're going to talk about a really awesome game that's actually getting remade. So this year, you'll be able to play HD remake of Homeworld 1 and 2. I don't know if they're doing Cataclysm, but Homeworld 1 and 2 by Sierra back in the day when Sierra was still around.
I miss Sierra.
It was this RTS in space where you had a mothership. The thing was, like, you're playing it. Something happened. Oh, no. And you have the mothership, this big mothership that was just out on a test flight, right? And you come back. Your planet's on fire. You're like, crap.
Oh, no.
Not the burning. But now you have this giant mothership that has all these capabilities. And the two
mothership.
Games, you know, you go through the mothership and you jump around and you try to find a new home world.
So it's kind of like Battlestar Galactica, the Vigia game.
Yeah, yeah. It's really good, though, and it's going to look way
without
better.
Without Cylons.
And Homeworld's actually, they're working on this new Homeworld game, but they're remaking 1 and 2, and I want to say Gearbox is doing it, and that means Valve is doing it. So
yeah, that's promising.
It's going to look really, really good. We are going to cut to a song, then we're going to come back and end out the night. This is All Form the Head by MC Frontalot. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
And you've been listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM, KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points, but not for much longer. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
And that was All Form the Head by MC Frontalot. We're out of time, but before
no.
we leave, Red Bear, what's that website?
That's exppoints.com. Double tap the P. I said I was only going to say it once. I lied.
You also have the Facebook page, facebook.com/experiencepoints, YouTube and Google Plus. Just go to exppoints.com, look at the very bottom of that page, and you'll find all of our social media links, including Google Plus, YouTube, and Twitter, as well as the Facebook page.
Pay attention on social as we expand our platform.
We're expanding. It's going to be fantastic. We've got a lot of Let's Plays and walkthroughs. More are coming, and we've got more on the way.
More crews coming.
Yep. We said we were going to do it. This is the Picard song. Have a good night. Remember to check us back out next week. Next Wednesday, 9 to 10 p.m., same time, same place. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
And you've been listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone
90.9 FM KSLU.
Here's to the finest crew in Starfleet. Engage.
Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the U.S.